I suppose you could say that my story began, as so many other good stories have begun, with the arrival of a stranger. Except I was a stranger, and the way I looked at it, I was just coming home. It was the summer of 1932. I was single, 40, and finally leaving London more frightened and excited than I'd ever been in my entire life. At heart, I was a Yorkshire girl, and though I'd travelled as far as South Africa and taught in London, I was happy to be back. The locals, of course, had their own ideas. Most couldn't imagine why on earth I'd wanted to leave Yorkshire in the first place, or else they were suspicious. Why, if I had been so successful, was I coming back, and what was I running away from? All I knew was that I loved teaching, and now I had been given my own school. I was Sarah Burton, the new headmistress of Kiplington High School for Girls. So what if the buildings were decrepit, the girls were labourers' daughters and the governors were stuffy? This was my material. This dead end of nowhere was my new beginning, and I was ready to build a great school, determined to make the South Riding famous. And I was sure of one thing. There would be no chance of any romance here. I was born to be a spinster, and by God, I was going to spin. My initial challenge was Mrs. Beddoes. I had met her first at my interview.
Now then, Miss Burton, you've had a very interesting life and met some very interesting people. I wonder if you know just what you're in for in a little out-of-the-way town like this. Some people call Kiplington the last town in England, though, of course, we don't think so.
Oh, and neither do I. Do you remember a red-headed blacksmith? Had a shop at Lipton Hunter?
Why, yes, of course. They married the district nurse.
Well, they were my parents. My mother went into the West Riding. She got work there through the kindness of the schoolmaster in Lipton Hunter. He was splendid to us. It was through him, really, that I got a scholarship. Later on to Barnsley High School and then to Leeds and Oxford. I came back from South Africa when my mother's health failed. She died 5 years ago. So you see, Mrs. Beddoes, I'm certainly no stranger to Kiplington, the place everyone wants to leave. Though, of course, I don't agree.
May I ask you, Miss Burton, we had a much better appointment in the South Riding last winter in Flinton Bridge. You didn't apply for that, I don't think.
Well, no, I didn't think I should get it.
Indeed.
You see, I am very small and not by birth a lady. My hair is red and I do not look like the sort of person whom most governors want to see reading reports at speech day.
Yes, I see. Your headmistress at South London gives you quite remarkable testimonials.
Oh, she was far too generous.
You were close.
She taught me almost everything I know. But she understands why I want to come north again, and she sympathises with my wish to have a school of my own.
Of your own?
Of which I was headmistress.
Mrs. Beddoes was the county's first lady alderman and didn't suffer fools gladly. A plump, sturdy woman with a ruddy face battered by wear and weather and 60 years of hard experience. She was frank and intelligent and beamed so brightly from her spaniel-coloured eyes that she often looked as young as the girl I knew in her secret dream she felt herself to be. I liked her instantly, though I knew I'd have to earn her trust and eventually her friendship. Robert Calm was another matter altogether.
So, you disapprove of our Miss Burton, eh?
Not exactly.
You voted against her?
Yes, I did.
But why? Surely not because of her father. The poor chap died years ago.
That poor chap was a useless drunk who lamed one of my horses.
I didn't see any signs of our lady lifting her elbow.
Yeah, a woman's ability to hide her shortcomings never fails to surprise me.
You're right. And she'll probably surprise us all with her red hair and snip-snap manner. She's certainly not afraid of all your pompous governors, that's for sure. I'm glad. It's what the school needs. You mark my words, Robert. That girl will wear well. She'll have to, because I'm going to make it my job to see that she does.
Come on, here, take my arm.
Well, I reckon our Miss Burton's just the sort of teacher Midge could really benefit from. And if you're honest with yourself, I'm sure you think the same.
It's not as simple as that.
Oh, yes. I know it's not easy for you to send your only daughter to a school with the children of tradesmen and common labourers. But it's your girl you're educating now, not Lord Sedgemeyer's.
I'm well aware of that.
And I know you talked to Cheltenham or Heathfield, maybe even Paris. But are you telling me that you have an extra 200 or so a month to put Midge through a good school, eh?
Midge is all I have now, and you know I can't fail her.
I know, I know. And if Lord Sedgemeyer lent a hand, that will be a different matter, but he doesn't. He's left you to deal with the tools of Providence. Deal you must, Robert. I suppose you know how they worked the election.
How Snaith worked it, you mean? That wretched man's as straight as a corkscrew.
Ah, there you're wrong. He's slim, all right, but he's not crooked. He's too sharp to break the law. He'll only work in the dark for the causes he thinks are righteous, and he sees you as an obstructionist. And he's not wrong. I've always told you, you overdo your economy cry. It's one thing to champion the ratepayer. It's another to block all action. Oh, I don't mean to go on at you, Robert. I know that failing to get elected must have left you bitterly disappointed. Oh, my dear boy, I do know it meant a great deal to you.
Come on, you're frozen. Let's go inside. A man's own front doorstep is certainly no place to deliberate his failings. But she'll be waiting. No doubt she'll be expecting her father to return home an alderman. Maybe it's too late. Maybe I failed her after all.
That child adores you, no matter what you do.
I know, but don't you see that's half the problem?
Oh, my goodness. What would I do without you to hold on to these bitter nights?
Here, take my arm. I reckon we're in for a storm.
Midge is a dear child, but she needs knocking into shape and company of her own age. Well, you should know full well it's not good for anyone to be alone so much.
Yes, yes, I know.
And I wouldn't worry too much about the other girls influencing her. Midge is far more likely to influence them.
Daddy! Daddy!
What on earth?
Oh, Daddy, Daddy, you're home safe. Granny Beddoes, I danced all the way down the stairs.
I do. You look the grand lady.
I fancied in Mummy's wardrobe, put it on, and oh, I feel like I could dance all night.
Go and take it off now, Midge.
But I thought you'd be pleased.
Well, you thought wrong. Take the damn thing off, do you hear me? And shut that blasted music off.
The child was only trying to please you.
I don't need pleasing.
She's just a child, Robert. She doesn't understand. She knows Muriel's dresses are still important to you. She only thinks she's making you happy.
I know what she thinks. I don't know. Maybe it's time to get rid of Muriel's things altogether. These days, I hardly know what to do for the best. Do you know what Midge said to me the other day? That she wished all grown-ups could be less unhappy.
Well, she's not wrong there. It's one thing for adults to be miserable, but for a child, it's tragic. It's high time she was amongst children her own age.
And do you really think the high school is the answer?
I know it is.
I'll tell her in the morning.
No, tell her now. Find her and hold her. And tell her why. And I'll see about fixing us a nightcap.
So, from the moment I stepped off the Kiplington bus, my head was in a spin. Determined to establish my position here in the South Riding, I put forward my plan of action and set about bullying lazy porters, slave-driving fussy cleaners and hounding stubborn governors. I was born to teach and more than willing to embrace a whole new life which excited, terrified and challenged me. I wanted to be stretched and I was ready to fight. However, it soon became clear to me that certain members of my staff did not feel the same.
Well, I must say the girl sounded on good form this morning. It's quite uplifting.
Yes, it's odd the way old Siggy seems to still manage to get them all singing. Of course, working's a different matter altogether. I suppose the girls must think that rehearsing ridiculously uplifting hymns for the King's Jubilee is some kind of treat.
Why is there a problem? With Miss Sigglethwaite, I mean.
You mean apart from being quite hopeless? Well, let's face it, there really is no hope for these spinster schoolmarms. One can see why they have to stick with a job they loathe. Frankly, I don't believe it's healthy for a woman to revolve her whole life around teaching.
Well, that depends on what you consider somebody's...
Of course, I'm not speaking for myself. Oh, no. As you must know, I'm an engaged woman.
Yes, so you've mentioned.
Pip, Philip Parkhurst, my fiancé, is awaiting news of his promotion. Then we plan to marry. Of course... You do know I was eligible for headship myself, but that was quite out of the question.
Oh, you didn't approve?
Of course, once I'm married, thankfully, I'll never have to work again.
So, have you got the current Upper Fourth's timetable?
Oh, yes, yes, they're here. Of course, you do know she's 60 if she's a day. Oh, she calls herself 47. Of course, they're all 47 when they get past 50. I don't think they realise that the rest of us do still have our sight.
I see that last term she had 5 periods with thirds and upper 5, but none with the fourths.
Oh, she can't manage the fourths.
So these children only start science in the fifths, and their matriculation results are deplorable.
As I said, she's quite hopeless, but not bad enough to be given the boot. She'll never resign because she's at the top of the scale. Let's face it, who else is going to take her?
And what would your solution be?
Mine? Well, what can you do? So they fail in science... You would think someone would feel privileged just to count as a high school girl, but no.
Hello, Kiplington 365. Oh, Mrs. Beddoes. Well, yes, I see. No, no, that's fine. Actually, I was going... Yes, well, of course. It's just the state of the girls' cloakrooms. Well, no, I see, but surely... Look... I don't mind a hall the size of a cupboard, or a pitch-black cellar, or even a gymnasium and laboratories housed in a broken-down conservatory, but really, these beetle-haunted cloakrooms are enough to constipate a child for months. Yes, well, I look forward to seeing you then. Goodbye.
Mrs. Beddoes?
Yes. Look, I really think that we had better make a start on these timetables.
Of course, you do know you are wasting your breath there.
Really?
Well, really, showing old Beddoes the place. Firstly, she doesn't need to see it. She's known what a state it's in for years. They all have. Anyway, she has no power. Oh, I'm sure she thinks so, but it's Colonel Collier who has the final say. And let's face it, he definitely won't be interested.
And just why is that?
Oh, he's only interested in making sure that children of working classes are certainly not educated above the station. Oh, I'm parched. Shall I put the kettle on?
What on earth?
Miss, it's old Siggy. She's gone do lally, miss. She struck Gladys Subbard across the face with a ruler and then ran out the classroom screaming.
So here I was in the middle of my first week as the new headmistress of Kiplington High. Most of the girls were labourers' daughters with no desire to learn. The buildings were a complete shambles, and already I was beginning to feel as though I was fighting a losing battle, especially with the governess, who seemed totally oblivious to the state of the school. Snaith was out of town, Huggins was permanently unavailable, and as for Carn, he seemed to be blatantly avoiding me. It was obvious that Mrs. Beddoes was my only hope, and I was determined to win her over and pin her down. My staff were a mixture of the lost and the lonely. At times I felt as if I had no one I could trust. Miss Jameson was a gossip and old Siggy a dreamer. Although I'd taken measure of my position and was making some progress... I had started to realise that if I was to succeed and really make a difference, I had to be prepared to fit in and be part of the community. So I rented a cottage on the central promenade and bought myself a second-hand car.
Although my position was not as strong as I would have liked, I wasn't about to give up.
Oh, it's nice to sit down and have 5 minutes. I've already been up at Flintborough this morning, and then I've still got to get to Kingsport to catch the train. It's all go. Still, I like to keep busy. So, my dear, it's agreed then. Midge can start straight away.
Yes, well, I don't see any reason why not. Is there any question of a scholarship?
Oh, thank you, dear. No, her father will pay the fees.
Of course, I will have to speak with Mr. Khan himself.
Well, Roberts and Mr. Khan is a very busy man, what with running Mayfair.
Oh, surely not too busy to discuss his daughter's education.
He adores the child. He has only her best interest at heart.
Oh, Mrs. Bedders, I do apologise. I didn't mean to be so blunt. It's been a very long day. In fact, it's been a very long week.
Having a few teething problems, are we?
Oh, well, yes, I suppose you could say that. Though I don't think it's anything I can't handle. Well, apart from those wretched beetles in the cloakroom.
Actually, you have already met Midge's father, Robert Khan. He's on the board of governors here. He was present at your interview.
Yes, I remember him well. He hardly spoke a word. Or even looked up, for that matter.
Midge is a fine girl. A little highly strung, perhaps. But I've always found her a joy to have around. As I've already said, Khan adores her. She's never actually been to school. Though she's had a succession of governesses, but... Well, her father wasn't sure it would be a good thing. But I managed to persuade him.
I see.
And, of course, I wouldn't want...
To be proved wrong.
To be truthful, Midge can be a little nervous at times, even difficult. But I do believe it's nothing that careful handling and a little encouragement
wouldn't
cure.
As I'm sure you
cure.
Must already know, Mrs. Beddoes, we do try and encourage all our girls here at Kidlington High. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You didn't, dear. I'd finished.
I noticed in our past records that both your daughters were former pupils here. Chloe and Sybil, I believe.
Yes, Chloe has a PhD. She lectures in English at the Sorbonne, you know.
Really? What a pity she's an exception and not the norm.
Oh, you can't put brains where there are none. Still, I'm positive Midge will do just fine here.
Yes, so am I. So, I had hoped that you might have time to braid the cloakrooms with me. They really are in a deplorable state. You see, if you could... excuse me. Come in.
Sorry, I didn't realise you still had company.
Oh, don't mind me, dear. Actually, if I'm going to catch that train, I really ought to be making tracks.
Oh, very well. Perhaps we could make another appointment. How about later next week?
Aye, well, you give me a ring, dear. Cheerio.
Yes, what can I do for you, Miss Jameson?
Here's the up-to-date timetables you asked for.
Thank you. Oh, please put them down over there.
Oh, Beddoes was in a bit of a hurry, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Like she said, she had a train to catch.
What did I tell you? I knew she wouldn't be interested in the state of the cloakrooms. No one will. Why should they? They haven't been up to by now. I doubt you'll ever be able to do anything with them.
Miss Jameson, will that be all? As you can see, I have rather a lot of paperwork to do.
Gloria Hammond's big brother has just been to collect her to take her home. She trapped a finger in the annex door, turned purple and the silly girl fainted. I'd only just got my class settled when I heard such a commotion in the corridor. That damn stray was running amok again. I really do think the vet should be called. The stupid mongrel's obviously wild.
I see. Is that all?
Well, there was one more thing. Old Siggy's gone walkabout again, but I can see you're busy, so I'll leave you to it.
Miss Jameson? Walkabout, what on earth?
Ah, there you are. Jim said to come straight through. Look, he asked me to tell you not to mend the fire. He said it'd be roaring away and it'll easily last until supper time.
Oh, he did he? Did he also tell you you couldn't enjoy a glass of his finest whisky with me?
No, thankfully he didn't.
Thankfully? Thanks indeed. Now, come on, don't stand about like a lad on hiring day. Pull up a chair and join me. Here, fetch a large glass. Light up your pipe, make yourself comfortable. Don't mind me, I'm frozen to the bone. I've been across to York at a rescue prevention meeting. And after wrestling all day with fallen girls and upstanding bishops, I feel I've earned a bit of comfort. Aye, no matter what my dear husband thinks. Cheers.
Cheers. So, how did you get on?
It wasn't as long-winded as usual. But I feel I've soiled me ticket. I said to the secretary, if I can, I want to catch the 4 o'clock train, and I'll give a pound note to the collection if only they cut it short a bit. And would you believe it? That wretch of a man went to the bishop, and after he'd been speaking about 10 minutes, he said, well, there is much more that I could tell you of this good work, but one lady on our committee has just said that she will give a pound note to the collection, if I cut me eloquence short. So in this case, though speech is silver, silence is golden, and down he sat.
Good for you.
Oh, that's not the worst of it. When they came round with the collection, there they stood in front of me, chuckling, waiting for the pound note. And I hadn't got one. I don't know when I felt worse, I don't really. I said to Mr. Cross, who was sitting next to me, for heaven's sake, lend me a pound. And he said, so you're the lady, and roared with laughter. Can't imagine what Jim would say if he found out. Now, have you been up to the high school to see Miss Burton yet?
No, I haven't.
No, I didn't think so. You made all that fuss about the high school not being good enough for Midge, and then you don't even bother to go and see the headmistress.
Well, I hadn't given it much thought.
Well, you should. Midge will be starting next week, and you must make the effort, Robert. I have a feeling she might just surprise you.
I've had enough surprises for one day.
Oh. Anything I should know about?
Oh, the usual. Snaith and his fat-headed plans to build for the future. A future that will line his pockets and empty mine.
Oh, Robert, when will you two ever see eye to eye?
Never. Not as long as he's set on developing Kiplington to suit his own means and at the expense of us farmers.
Well, Robert, it looks like we're in for a long wait, then. Here, let me top you up. You shouldn't take everything so personal. Yeah, you look tired.
I am. And I can't remember when I last had a good night's sleep. If I'm truthful, I need several of these before I can even get off, and then I still wake in the night. It's like my mind won't rest. Even though I'm shattered, I just lie there wide awake. Sorry, look, it's late. I mustn't overstay my welcome.
Oh, my dear boy, you know you're always welcome in this house.
I know, it's Jim I was thinking about.
You don't need to mind him. He'll always find something to moan about. Anyway, you're far too important to me. Will you stay for another?
Why not? If you'll join me.
Why not indeed? Cheers.
Cheers.
Miss Jameson, I'm glad I bumped into you.
No.
Sorry?
Oh, Siggy. No, she hasn't turned up yet. Which, I suppose, means I'll have to take extra fourths again. Last time she did this, she was missing for nearly a week. Turned up in Harrogate, wandering round some filthy flea market.
Has she relations in Harrogate?
Well, how should I know? Hardly what you'd call friends.
Well, no. Well, I doubt whether you have any. Any time, your friends with all your wedding preparations. Well, I doubt you can fit anything else in. Have you a definite date set yet?
No. Well, not as yet, but I'm still quite hopeful. What I mean is... Actually, I am in rather a rush now. Pip's taking me through to Kingsport this evening.
I had hoped that we could discuss Midge Kahn.
What is there to discuss?
Well, she'll be starting here next week.
And so will several other girls. What you mean is her father, Robert Kahn, is a governor. Well, you do know what they say. That she's probably not even his. Still, it serves him right, I say. You know what these gentlemen farmers are like? Born snobs. He went for blue blood and found it tainted.
I really don't think that that's any of our business.
Oh, don't you? Well, don't say I didn't warn you. And I suppose Mrs. Beddoes made all the arrangements. Or should I say Mrs. Deputy God, that's what we call her. General undertaker, divorces arranged, relatives buried, invalids nursed, municipalities run free gratis and for nothing. All for the love of interference, or in this case, for the love of a man young enough to be her son.
Oh, really, Mrs. Jameson?
I'm only amazed she was so taken with you.
What on earth do you mean?
Well, Kahn, of course.
What about Kahn?
Oh, dear, you obviously don't know. Kahn was the only one who was opposed to you taking over the headship.
Oh. Well, thank you, Miss Jameson. I've had a mind to get in touch with him. Now I certainly won't waste any time. Forewarned is forearmed. I'll call him straight away. Oh, and Miss Jameson, I do hope young Pip has some good news for you.
News?
His promotion.
Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you.
Don't get involved, Sarah. Stay well clear. The dreadful Dolores Jameson is just a damn gossip. A sad and bitter woman who enjoys causing nothing but misery and heartache. It's too late for her. But not for me. Not for my girls. For us, there are endless possibilities. It's my job to excite, inspire and educate young women, and that's all that matters. So what if Robert Kahn's against me? Why should I care? I have his daughter to work with, and despite the silly man, I know I won't fail her. Well, Master Kahn, you don't intimidate me. I know your type well. Aristocrats, conservatives, vindicators of tradition against experiment, of instinct against reason, of piety against progress. You stand for everything I am opposed to, and I pity you sitting alone in your crumbling mansion. Now, ring him. Mr. Kahn, this is Sarah Burton here. Well, I had hoped that we might have a chat about your daughter, Midge. Well, oh no. Yes, but it's just with her starting here next week. No, of course. Yes, but Mrs. Beddoes tells me that she has never attended a school before, and I just thought... Oh, I see. Well, perhaps when you return... You will. Good. Good day. Robert Kahn, you are the most intolerable, arrogant, hard-headed fool of a man. Oh, you have met your match. I'm here and I'm here to stay, so you had better get damn well used to it. My first real contact with the community was a gala evening at the church hall. It was presented by a bubbly, flushed, fussy woman called Madame Hubbard and her highly talented pupils. What I hadn't realised was how popular her dreadful shows were. Curtain up, standing room only, and what a reception. Hordes of wild, wolf-whistling men, many of whom should have known better, lined the edge of the stage and applauded my girls. I couldn't believe it. Girls who had struggled with matriculation or played tag in the playground were now half-naked temptresses painted like china dolls and proudly flaunting their young pubescent bodies right in front of the whole community. I couldn't understand it and I couldn't bear it. These were my girls. I wanted to shake Madame Hubbard and demand a good reason why any intelligent woman would have wanted to put these young, impressionable, naive girls on the stage. And then it happened. Suddenly the heat, the atmosphere, the helpless charm of the smallest singers touched me so deeply I found myself shaking. My heart was screaming. I longed to save and redeem them. I wanted to leave, to cry, to shout out loud. I wanted it to be over. Hearing them sing so heartily, seeing them marching, drilling, obeying bark commands, watching their silly innocence was more than I could take. I was lost and lonely, and yet strangely I felt more alive and aware than I had ever been in my entire life. Everything I'd been through, everything I was confronted with, everything my conscience repelled was there in that room, and then I realised I was really home. These were my people. These loud, vulgar, raw, warm, wonderful people were a part of me.
It's all right. I know it takes you like that sometimes. I know I lost my man. Here, let me top you up. There's nothing life helps like a good cup of tea, hey? There you go. You're all on your own, lass.
Thank you. Yes, I am. Yeah, so hot in there. Just having a breather.
Oh, don't they look bonny, eh? You know, all made up like and dancing so well and that.
Yes, they're very well trained.
That was our Jenny in that last bit.
Oh, which?
The one in the blue dress. She's been 2 years with Mrs. Hubbard. Oh, sings and dances lovely, she does. She wants to go on the films. She was on the shortlist at the King's Pop Beauty Competition last year.
Really?
Oh, aye. They say she might have been queen if she was a bit stouter. The gentlemen were judging, see. And I always say, never mind the fashions. A gentleman likes a bit of something to get hold of, don't you think?
Well, I don't know if I...
She won't eat potatoes.
No.
But I keeps telling her, all skin and grief never got you nowhere.
Well, I suppose...
Of course, her pa's dead set against the pictures. They say it's a hard life for a girl. But I say a girl might do worse. I used to get 8 shilling a week as help to Mr. Biggs. Oh, up and down them big houses on the front with lodgers sleeping 3 in a bed and sand in the basin and early morning teas, and not to mention all them screaming babies.
Yes, I can imagine. Look, then, I really must be...
Since I got married, I've took visitors myself with me 9 kids, what, 6 living, and him out of work and me legs are rotten. I tell you, I'd rather be kicking in the chorus line than standing all day at the wash tub. You're not married yourself, then?
No.
Or should I say not yet, eh? Hmm? Oh, well, don't you worry, love. Mr. Wright always comes along when you least expected him to. Bloody typical, I'd say. As reliable as a bus in the mud. Still, you're only young.
Well, I'm almost 40. Actually, I'm the headmistress.
Oh, hey, we've all had our knockbacks. You don't want that to bother you. And, well, you won up on me, love. At least you've still got your looks, lass. Hey, our Jenny's partner is Lydia Holly. Madam Hubbard takes Lydia free because she's an actual acrobat. She just started the high school. Yes, real clever lass and all. Should have been going 3 years back, but her poor ma was always expecting. And Mr. Holly, well, he's as good as useless. Oh, don't get me wrong, he's a jovial sort. Aye, jovial but bloody useless, if you don't mind me saying. You know me. I'd rather have the odd crack of money on the table. Oh, yeah. Do you like aniseed? Go on. Hey, it's good for the digestion. I always get 2 pennyworth every Friday. A1 for flatulence.
But I haven't got flatulence.
Oh, excuse me, love. There's Mrs. Pinker. I must have a word with her. Let her know her Grace is a born dancer. Of course she's not. But the lass has a floating kidney. She's a bit feeble-like, so she might appreciate a kind word. Here, I'll leave you an aniseed ball for later, eh? Ta-ra, lass, eh? Don't you go giving up on love. You never know what's round the corner. Hey, Edna. You're crazy. Been dancing beautiful.
Come on, Sarah. Smile, sit up straight. Show them what you're made of. You are a professional woman. These people have entrusted their girls into your care. This is what counts. This is what you've wanted, waited, believed and longed for. You're home now, secure and more than ready to take life on. Be free and brave and open. Be calm and honest and happy. Be true to yourself and have courage. I am a desirable woman, and I know I have been desired. It's only death or principle which has held me back, and I know I have a habit inconvenient in a headmistress. I do fall in love. Misguidedly and maybe too often. I've been engaged to marry 3 different men. 3 men. All of whom loved and lost me. I let them go. I know that to have loved them back would have meant losing myself. Whatever I do, and whoever I am, I know I have to stay true.
Oh, it's a grand turnout. Now, there's that young man from the Kingsport Chronicle I saw at the Lord Mayor's reception. I told him that if he wrote in his paper again, Alderman Mrs. Beddoes looked well in her usual black, I'd have him sacked. It's not black, it's navy crepe. Chloe bought it from Paris, you know. So, anyway, he said he didn't do dresses. Only the women understood those things. So I had to chase all over the building hunting for Gloriana, or whatever she calls herself, just to mind she got it right. You see, I often send my daughter Chloe bits out of the papers of me wearing them, and she can't say I never wear anything but me old frocks. Oh, I say, there's Miss Burton over there, all on her own. She's our new head up at the girls' school. Have you met her yet?
No, I can't say I have.
Oh, well, you must, Jo. Come on, I'll introduce you. Miss Burton, are you alone?
Mrs. Beddoes, how good to see you.
I don't know if you know Socialist Alderman Astell. Miss Burton, our new headmistress at the high school. Astell here is the first socialist to be made alderman in the South Riding.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I dare say Astell will be glad of your company, Miss Burton. I've been failing to interest him in the delights of my frocks. The point I was trying to make was that at my time of life, you can't afford to be seen wearing nothing but black. People might think you were too mean to change between funerals. Ah, there's Huggins. Will you excuse me for a moment? I must pin him down about the mental hospital business.
Do you mind if I join you?
No, of course not. I'm afraid the tea's a little stewed.
Oh, pour away, that doesn't bother me.
She says socialist alderman rather as if it was a prize freak. Are socialists really such rare birds here?
Excuse me.
Well, here, drink this. You all right?
Yes, well, as well as can be expected. I have TB. It was recommended that I come to the South Riding for the quiet life and the sea. I run a small printing press. It's light work. We turn out leaflets, pamphlets and a local trade union paper. It's light work kept running as an excuse for pensioning invalids. Oh, you know, you remind me of someone. It's the red hair. Are you any relation to Miss Ellen Wilkinson?
Oh, not the hair. I'm not. I wish I were. I think she's a grand girl, but hers is soft and beautiful with a natural wave. Mine's a vulgar phrase. Very sad for me. Do you know her?
I've met her. I think she's got guts.
I once took some of my girls to hear her speak in London. I thought it would do them good.
And did it?
Well, I'm not sure. They liked her hair and her green frock and her way of speaking, but I'm not sure how many took in any of her ideas.
Oh, did you want them to?
Well, I think any ideas for sixth form girls are better than none. I mean, they've got to go through their political adolescence, and I'd rather they fell for Ellen Wilkinson than, say, Oswald Mosley.
So, Miss Burton, you're a socialist, then?
Well, Mr. Astell, I'm a schoolmarm. I take no part in politics.
Come on, that's evasion. You're either a socialist or not. There can be no halfway house. A new pair of lungs, perhaps.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you two. May I call you Joe?
Of course. So, you must miss London.
Yes, I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
But you have no regrets about taking the headship?
Only every other day.
You're obviously not afraid of a challenge.
I believe in action and fighting, and I know how to teach. At my South London school, we had debates, clubs, excursions to the Houses of Parliament, the London County Council, the National Portrait Gallery, the Tower of London. Oh, I organised open-air performances, special essay prizes and competitions. My official subjects were history and civics, but all roads lead to my Rome.
I wonder if this lazy, backward little town knows what it's in for.
Hey. What did I tell you, love?
Have you finished, dear? Can I just clear the table before the second
act? Yes, of course.
I wouldn't normally ask, only I want to get washed up and sorted before the grand finale. Oh, it's usually a right good knees up, I tell you. You just wait and see. I like to sing along to all the old uns and that. Any road, you'll just enjoy yourselves, won't you?
Yes, we will. Oh, dear. What is it about this place? Why is everyone so insistent that any unmarried woman over the age of 20 must be an old spinster? With each passing year, I'm becoming increasingly aware of the horrors of war, its desperation, anxiety, and loss to my generation. The dead are most needed not when they are mourned, but in this world robbed of their stabilizing presence. 10 million men who should now have been between 40 and 55, our scientists, our rulers, our philosophers, the foremen in our workshops, headmasters in our schools. All these great men are just mud and dust, and the world weeps without them. Here I was, well into the new term, knocking on 40 and fighting fit. On a good day, I was ready to take on the world and all its chaos. And on that day, the weather matched my mood and the sun broke through the dark clouds and illuminated my little office. I'd spent the whole morning answering 22 letters on my new embossed-headed notepaper, and it was a job well done. I'd interviewed a mother whose girl had septic tonsils, inspected a burst pipe, discussed with Miss Parsons the comparative merits of brown and wholemeal bread, accepted an invitation from Terry Bryan to hear him sing the bass solos in The Messiah at Kingsport on Easter Sunday, chased a stray dog down the full length of the main corridor, and had to separate Gladys Winthorpe and Muriel Winters on two different occasions. Lydia Holly was a worry and Midge Kahn a handful. Miss Jameson was ridiculous and Miss Sigglethwaite was still missing. So, I tidied my desk and tried to think about all the girls I had taught. My staff had long since gone home, except for poor Miss Sigglethwaite, who was out there somewhere, alone and frightened and in need of help. But instead I found myself staring at the telephone, willing it to ring and hoping it wasn't Miss Sigglethwaite. I wanted it to be Robert Kahn.
Exhausted. Oh, come on. Let's get you home, shall we? Edith, perhaps tomorrow you could come and see me. Let us talk. See if we can't try and help one another. Edith, I know you're worried about your mother and your sister. You must believe me when I say I understand. I do. I know you cannot afford to lose your job, that you're the breadwinner. Edith, it all is not lost. I've had a word with the education authorities. You are eligible for a reasonable pension. I too understand the burden of responsibility our families put on us, more than you realise. Some years ago, I had to return from South Africa to look after my sick mother. I know it's not been easy for you. You're an exceptional scientist, and I know that ultimately teaching was a backward step for you, but you came into teaching so you could take care of your family. You are a strong, good-hearted woman. You have no reason to run away or hide any more.
Hello, Kiplington 374. Ah, oh, Robert. Yes, I'm getting ready right now. And, here, I do hope you're not picking me up in that old dog cart of yours. I may have as neat an ankle as any in the South Riding, but when you get to my time of life, you'll think twice before scrambling into that trap of yours like a monkey up a puzzle tree. Oh, you're hiring a car. Sordon's driving. Well, I've no complaints there. Yes, yes, the old fur's out the mothballs. I'll be quite warm. Until then, cheerio.
You dear, dear boy. Oh, dear. Emma Beddoes, come on, take a good look at yourself. Oh, how cruelly mirrors can deceive us. Inside, I feel no older than 35. You old fool. Oh, you're trying to impress. Not Robert Carne, that's for sure. For goodness sake, woman, when are you going to accept it? He's young enough to be your son. But he needs me. He trusts me. I know he enjoys my company. I'm his friend. Just his friend. Come on, old girl. Try not to look too gay and eager. After all, it's only a meeting with the Cold Harbour colonists. And you promised Jim you'd be home early. Why? Why make promises you have no intention of keeping? If Robert asks you back for a nightcap, you must say no. No, Jim will be waiting. No, I must go home. It's no good. You know you can't help yourself. If he asks you, you know you'll say yes. Yes, I'll sit with you. Yes, I'll share your problems. Yes, I'll comfort you. I'll look after Midge and support you. Emma Beddoes, you're a barmy old fool. I should know better.
So, I get this call from the travelling secretary of a birth control society asking me to lend support as alderman. And I told him, I've had 5 children already and I was 72 last birthday. Aren't you a bit late in the day for me? Try Councillor Saxon.
Saxon? I thought he and his wife were childless.
Aye, for 52 years, till he lost his heart and virtue to a little blonde in a kiosk on Kingsport Station.
Oh, the old fool.
That's not the end of it. The old devil only found himself at 74, the proud but embarrassed father of a bouncing baby boy. So, you still haven't been to see Miss Burton?
Obviously you know the answer already.
I do, but I still don't know why. It's not like you, Robert. You said yourself how happy the child is since you started at the high school.
Oh, yes, that's true enough.
Well?
The damn woman rang me last week, practically demanded to see me. I thought about stopping off on my way to the hunt tomorrow.
What, in your pinks? Do you think that's appropriate, Robert?
It's either that or not at all.
Oh, very well. You must do what you feel best. You'll certainly bring a bit of colour and, no doubt, a titter or two to those drab school corridors. Maybe you should go the whole hog and don't dismount. Ride straight through into her office. Oh, now that would be a pretty picture.
I doubt even that would impress the woman.
Oh, well, if you're out to impress her, you'll have your work cut out for you there.
I'm not.
Miss Jameson, I wonder if I could have a word with you in my office, please.
It's about old Siggy, I know already. About time, too, I say. Just why you left it so long, I'll never know. If I'd have been the head, I would have sacked it. I mean, the woman's obviously quite mad.
Well, firstly, I do not wish to discuss this here. And secondly, I have not sacked Miss Sigglethwaite. I have merely arranged for her to take early retirement. Now, perhaps we could continue this conversation in the privacy of my office.
I think not.
I beg your pardon.
Miss Burton.
Well, Mr. Carne.
I wonder if I could have a quick word. As you see, I'm on my way to Garfield Cross for the season's hunt.
Oh, I see. Well, yes. Please come with me to my office. Miss Jameson, perhaps you could attend to morning prayers. Thank you. Please, won't you sit down?
I won't, if you don't mind. I can't stay, so I'll say my piece and leave, if that's all right with you.
Oh, well, yes. Very well.
I just wanted to have a few words about my daughter, Midge. As I'm sure you know, I did have my concerns about her coming to this school.
Yes, Mrs. Beddoes did mention it.
Well, she seems to have made one or two good friends here, and says she enjoys herself. And frankly, her happiness is all that matters.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear it.
Yes. Good. Well, we'll talk further after the governor's meeting next month. Reassess the situation.
Yes, fine. Well, till next month, then. Please don't let me keep you from the hounds.
No doubt you are one of these people who disapprove of hunting.
Well, this is hardly an appropriate moment to discuss the ethics of fox hunting. However, if 50 or so grown-up men will amuse themselves by riding after one little animal to watch it torn to pieces by dogs, then yes, Mr. Khan, I must admit I do disapprove. And now, if you don't mind, I must get back to morning assembly. Good day, Mr. Khan. I look forward to seeing you at the next governor's meeting.
Good morning, Miss Burton.
Think you're doing?
What's it look like, snooty draws?
Do you know who I am? I am Midge Khan of Maythorpe.
Aye, well, I'm Lydia Rolly of the Shacks, Kiplington, East Yorkshire, England, and the flipping world.
The world? Fat lot of good you are to the world. What are you going to be when you grow up? A beggar or a thief?
Fat lot of good you are to anything. You don't impress me, Midge Khan. I've heard about your precious Maythorpe Hall with its crumbling ceilings falling down on your stuck-up heads. Just because we ain't got much money don't mean to say we're worth nowt, no matter what you and your stupid father think.
Who's rattled your cage, sneak thief?
I might not talk with a plum in me gob like you, but I'm cleverer than you. I'm cleverer than any of the girls in this school, and I'm gonna go to college.
A slum child's brains don't count. Everybody knows they'll never take someone like you.
At least I've got a brain. Your head's full of nowt but mad stuff.
How dare you, you smelly, vile creature. Look at you, you're filthy. Just look at your hand. What have you been doing? Digging up old potatoes for your supper?
Yeah, I have. What have you been doing? Crying for your mad mother.
How dare you, you slum child.
I might be a slum child, but at least I've got a man. What have you got? Fat old Beddoes and smells of stale perfume and mothballs.
Your parents should be locked up for producing a despicable, dirty sneak thief like you.
And your mum's already locked up in a flipping nut house.
Well, I'm gonna tell my father what you said. I hope you know that my father is a very important man. He's a governor at this school, and if I say so, he can throw you out.
See, you are. You're nuts. He can't throw me out. Everyone knows Miss Burton's the boss around here.
Oh, you stupid, ignorant girl. My father is far more important than Miss Burton, and if I asked him to, he could sack her right this minute.
Miss Khan!
Oh, bloody hell, you've done it now.
Lydia Holly, not another word out of both of you.
But Miss Burton, it wasn't me. It was her. She made me say it. She said my mother was
Nick,
mad.
Quiet!
She said...
I said, calm down.
She said
I don't want to hear what she said. Neither of you have any business to be talking in the cloakrooms at all. You know there's a rule of silence here, and that rule is made precisely because, as you see, you apparently cannot be trusted to behave like civilised human beings.
Yes, Miss Burton. Sorry, Miss Burton.
It's not me you should be apologising to, is it, Lydia?
No, miss. I'm sorry, Midge. I didn't mean to be unpleasant. Shake hands.
Never! Not in a million years. They're filthy.
Please yourself, crybaby. I'm not bothered. Can I go now, Miss Burton?
Very well, Lydia. Wait for me outside my office.
She called me a crybaby.
You are a crybaby, Midge.
She laughed at my father and said my mother was mad.
And I'm sure you said some equally nasty things back.
Well, she does smell, and she has fleas, and she lies, and I hate her. I hate her.
I'm sure you don't mean that.
I do. I hate them all. I know. I know what they say. They say I'm mad, like my mother.
Midge, you must learn to take life more calmly. That's better. Now you run along to Miss Pearson and try and stay calm. I shall be along shortly.
wildflowers growing up so high. All the pretty maids are all going to die. Except for Lydia Harley, she's the only one. So turn your back, face her back to the wall again.
We're going to have snow today, I can feel it. I do hope it settles. Life can be so drab and bitter. This is my life's work, and I must equip my girls with knowledge, confidence, and ambition. Arm them with weapons to fight the dead monotony of life. Arm them with joy, with memories, with passion. Go, therefore, and do that which is within you to do. Take no heed of gestures that beckon you aside. Ask of no man permission to perform. That is my motto, and that is what I will give to the girls who leave my care to become housewives, typists, children's nurses and shop assistants. How I wish for them to share something unexpected and spontaneous. An afternoon snatched from the fixed routine of timetables, a chance for joy, a burst of music, an insistence upon beauty or pleasure or daring. Something positive and wildly lovely, like driving out before the dawn to Kingsport and watching the boats sail up the Silver Leam. Oh, how I wish it would snow.
Oh, sorry, miss. I know I'm late, but you see, our gate is at a turn. Well, lately she ate more than one and got bellyache so bad it almost turned into appendicitis. Yeah, except it won't. It was just the turnips. But they had to keep her in the infirmary just to make sure, like. And my mum had to get off early this morning to fetch her home, which meant I had to see to our Kitty and Alice, who wouldn't get up and kept saying, just 5 more minutes. And now Daisy couldn't find her other welly because our Bertie had a blooming date last night with Mary Summer of her. And I think he's a bit keen on her, you see, miss. And welly had a massive hole in one of his best shoes. So he cut out Daisy's welly boot just making in a sole for his shoe. And it wasn't really fair because she only got her wellies. And I ran as fast as I could, but half the shortcut was dead icy, and the rest was just... Oh, sorry, miss. I mean, Miss Burton. Mum says I can talk the hand leg off a flipping donkey.
Well, you obviously have a great deal to talk about. Just how many brothers and sisters do you have?
6 living, miss. My mum lost 2. One before me and one before our Bertie. That was a boy who lived 6 days, I think. She didn't talk about it no more. Not to us kids, any word.
I'm sorry to hear that. How old are you all?
Well, our Bert's 16, Kitty's nearly 12, Alice 8, our Gertie's 7 and Daisy's just 10-4. And I'm 14 going on 15, Miss Burton. And now my mum's 5 months gone with another. Doctor's not happy about it neither. Neither is my mum. All she's done since she's known is cry. I want to help her, miss. I do help her. Except I get that mad with her. We can hardly manage as it is, let alone another flipping mouth to feed. Sometimes... I know it's not right, but sometimes I really hate me dad. Well, the pair of a man for letting him, and him for... Oh, sorry, miss, I didn't mean to go on.
No, not at all. It always helps to talk, Lydia. And I want you to know you can always come to me. I suppose being the eldest girl, you have to help your mother a great deal.
Of course I do. Except I still do my own work. Oh, I love doing my own work. And I read all sorts out I can lay my hands on. Hang on. But soft what light through yonder window breaks. It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief. Hang on, I know it. I know off by heart, and pale with grief that...
That thou her maid art more fair than she.
Be not her maid, since she is envious. Her festal livery is but pale and green. It's from Shakespeare, miss. Romeo and Juliet. Oh, well, you probably know that already. It's my favourite. That and Midsummer Night's Dream. You see, my intention is to go to college, Miss Burton.
How wonderful. Well, that certainly was very impressive.
Oh, look, miss, it's snowing. My mum said it would. Not that she wanted it to, she didn't, but... Oh, I did, miss.
Yes, so it is. We should be getting inside.
Miss Burton, there's a phone call for you. Oh, no, damn the snow. Oh, just so ruin what's there.
Thank you, Miss Jameson. Well, run along now, Lydia. It'll soon be time for assembly.
I hate assembly. And playtime and dinner time. And flipping home time.
But why?
I just do, miss.
Miss Burton! Shall I tell them you'll call them back?
Are you being bullied or in some kind of trouble?
Miss Burton! 10.
Oh, for goodness sakes, yes, Miss Jameson. Tell them I'll ring them back.
Lydia, you do know you can talk to me, don't you?
Yeah, I know, but it might sound a bit daft, miss.
Come on, Lydia, that's not like you.
Well, it's like I know how much time means. Time at school, I mean. I know how much catching up I have to do, and it bothers me. I just wish I could stay in them classrooms forever, because I'd know I'd never get bored or fed up. Oh, wait, we're getting wet, miss.
I know. But, Lydia, listen to me. Not every valuable lesson is learnt in the classroom.
That's what my mum says, miss. She says she's got degrees in hard graft and suffering. But I never want to be like her. Never.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
It's only to be expected. I mean, some of these families breed like rabbits, and heaven knows why. It's not like they can look after the poor wretched kid as they already have. It's like I always say...
Miss Jameson, please. This is not helping an already terrible situation. I was talking to Lydia earlier, and she's so worried about her mother having this new baby. Look, can you gather the force in the foyer straight after assembly? I want them wrapped up in their Wellingtons and warm coats. Perhaps, Miss Jameson, you would also like to join me and the girls on a brisk cross-country walk.
A brisk country walk?
Yes.
Are you mad? I mean, it's thick snow and the girls have morning prayers and... I hate the damn snow.
Miss Jameson, it's March, almost spring, and yet all day Wednesday and Thursday a storm has raged and blustered, and today the sun is shining bright and glorious. Such dramatic weather is far too rare to waste in classrooms. The girls may never see anything like it again. I'm told it's almost 40 years since snow lays thick on the shore. It will be an experience for the girls to remember long after today. It will be an experience for us all.
And anyway, I'm far too busy.
Nonsense, Miss Jameson. It is high time we were spontaneous. It will make us feel alive and regenerated. The sea air and exercise is good for the body and lifts the spirit. Life, Miss Jameson, is for the living. And today, by God, we're going to live it. If you haven't got Wellingtons, we'll wrap sacking round your shoes.
What?
You heard. Now come along, gather the girls together. We can do at least 6 miles before lunch.
6 miles? Have you lost your senses?
No. I've just found them again.
Miss... Oh, I don't think my mum will be best pleased when she finds out. Well, I mean, I've already had that Russian flu. And what with me asthma and that. Well, I've been warned to keep indoors, especially when it's damp. Well, what with the snow
oh, well,
and the wind...
Oh, well, Winthrop, stop moaning. If you want out here, you'd be doing matriculation, so think yourself flipping lucky.
Well, slow down, Miss Burton. My ears are aching.
So are mine, having listened to you, Miss Khan.
Come on, girls. Try not to lag behind, Midge.
Oh, but my ears are cold.
Oh, Midge. Don't be such a baby.
I can tell you're not used to the wind in your face. What's that got to do with anything, slum child? Yeah, just because your family lives like wild gypsies, Lydia Ollie. Oh, I bet you all wash in the same bath water. Yeah, even the water your dad's used. Even the dog's used.
That's not true, Nancy. What are you siding with her for?
Now then, girls, please make the effort to be civil to one another.
I wash in the sea and dry in the wind. I read by moonlight and rise with the sun.
I bathe every morning and evening, and my clothes are aired and pressed and laid beautifully on my bed.
Blimey, Midge, you sound like a princess.
She is Princess Snooty Draws.
Who knows a good song?
I do. Oh, I do, Miss Burton. The Grand Old Duke of York.
Very well. You lead, Midge. Come on, girls, let's try and keep together. Miss Jameson, you going to join in?
No. Oh, the Grand Old Duke of York, he had 10,000 men. He marched them up to the top of the hill and marched them down again.
And when they were up, they were up. And when they were down, they were down. And when they were only halfway up, they were neither up nor down.
Come on, Miss Jameson, you're not going to join in?
No. I don't know the words. Look, are we going much further? My feet are absolutely soaking wet and half the girls must be frozen. Before you know it, you'll have the parents banging on your door complaining that the girls have pneumonia.
Who wants to turn back?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Oh, the grand old Duke of York. He had 10,000 men. He marched them up to the top of the hill and he marched them down again.
Oh, Daddy! Daddy! Look, there's my daddy, everyone. Miss Burton, may I introduce you to my father? Mr. Khan of Maythorpe. Father.
That's enough now,
this
Mitch.
This is Miss Burton.
You do know you're trespassing.
I could have told you that.
Am I? The gates were open. I thought that this was the usual route to the cliffs.
It's not you so much. It's those girls breaking down fences, scaring what yous are left alive.
I did try and warn you.
I'm sorry you feel upset, but we really can't have done much damage.
I don't know what you would call damage, but there's a gate left open in the 40 acre.
But we didn't even come that way.
Do these girls' parents know you're dragging them around the cliff tops in weather like this?
I didn't think.
No, obviously you didn't think. Midge, are you cold?
No, not very, Daddy.
Mr. Khan, I really don't think... I assure you that I have only my girls' utmost interest in mind. This outing was to embrace the beauty of the countryside, and as you see, it's a glorious morning. All week long, the girls have been cooped up indoors, and I just thought it was high time we all had some exercise, a good intake of fresh air, and a little harmless fun in the snow.
Fun, is that what it's called?
My neighbour, Turnbull, has lost close on 40 sheep, and he can't afford it. My tenant on his farm has lost a cow and calf. God knows what this snow has done to winter wheat. There's a shepherd being lost 2 days at Leighton Bridge. I suppose we shall turn him up somewhere after the thaw sets in. He's a married man with 3 children. They're skinning sheep as they dig them out along Cold Harbour. Squashed flat some of them are with the weight that's been on them and the force of the driven snow. The place is like a shambles, and yet this is the time you choose to let your young women career over farms. This is what you call a little harmless fun.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but will we be here for much longer? Well, my feet have turned
to ice. I take all responsibility. If any damage has been done, I will, of course, personally pay compensation. Now, if you don't mind, we still have a fair distance to go before we return to school refreshed, enlightened and ready for lunch. Good day, Mr. Khan. So, who knows another good song? Nancy? Mitch? Lydia.
Dear Ken John Peel with his coat so gay, dear Ken John Peel at the break of day, dear Ken John Peel when he's far, far away with his hounds and his horn in the morn.